nothing but the blood of Jesus, and it washes us clean, white as snow. I just have a quick announcement to share with us here in the church today, as well as the folks on Facebook. The fact is that next Sunday, we have a guest speaker that's coming. So I won't be here at the church, and I won't be at Caddis Church, and I won't be on Facebook Live. We have an annual business meeting that's up at the Quaker Haven Church Camp, and so that's where I will be next week. But I will be back here at the church on August the 2nd, the following Sunday. Be back on Facebook August the 2nd. But the invitation's always open for those folks that are just listening online to come to the Kennard Friends Church, 9:30 a.m. every Sunday morning, or at the Caddis Friends Church at 10:40 every Sunday morning. Love to have you either way. Well, let me get started with a story. And I've told some of this before, so it's a little bit of a repeat. When I was a kid, preschool age, I was scared to death of the dark. I was scared to death of monsters under my bed. It was so bad that when I would turn off the light to the bedroom to then get into bed, I would, best I could, take a leap a few feet away and actually jump into the bed. And that old bed seemed like it was what would feel like a king-size bed to me today. I'm sure it wasn't that big, but when you're a preschooler, it just seemed huge. And it sat way up off the floor, a big metal frame bed. But I was pretty sure that monsters lived underneath, and I had to jump so that they couldn't grab my leg if I just walked up to the bed. And I was very careful. Even while I slept, I would consciously think about not letting my legs or arms fall over the side of the bed, knowing they could grab me that way. Maybe I'm not the only one, because I'm seeing some folks nod their head or snicker just a little bit. But, you know, fears change as we get older. But God doesn't want us to live in fear. He wants us to live in faith. Now, fear is pretty apparent in our world, our country, our community, even our churches. Fear ranges from one end of the spectrum to the other. Can be as little as a fleeting feeling of fear, or can be as bad as a paralyzing, debilitating fear. Well, today's featured country song, as you know what we're doing each week now, I'm doing a series called God and Country. We're going to take a country song, and I'm going to make a spiritual application from the Bible based on that song. The song today is actually titled Monsters, and it's by Eric Church. Here are the lyrics. I killed my first monster when I was 7 years old. He melted like butter in my bathroom's 60-watt bulb. I kept a 3-cell Maglite from Daddy's workshop drawer under my pillow, and I'd pull it out like a sword. Well, the wolf hunts a hungry man, and the devil a lonely heart. A minefield of bad decisions lay hidden in the dark. Greed stalks, sickness steals, and pride lays a wicked trap. You can't avoid them all. No, you got to trust me on that. Daddy, close my closet and leave the bathroom light on. I smile and say, all clear when I tuck him in at night. But Daddy, I'm still scared, and can I sleep with you instead? And then I kneel down beside my little man and bow my head. Anymore, when a restless feeling keeps me up at night, fallen on my knees is my new turning on the light. I keep my faith intact, make sure my prayers are said, 'cause I've learned that the monsters ain't the ones underneath the bed. Let me read that chorus one more time. It states the problem and the solution for fear. Anymore when a restless feeling keeps me up at night, you know what your restless feelings are. Falling on my knees, here's the solution, is my new turning on the light. I keep my faith intact, make sure my prayers are said, 'cause I've learned that the monsters aren't the ones beneath the bed. Well, those lyrics were inspired by Eric Church's son, Boone. He was a 7-year-old boy, and he asked his dad for more light in his bedroom at bedtime. And then that song goes on to talk about the monsters we must all overcome in life. Listen to this. Both real, because there are real monsters out there that we have to deal with that cause us fear, but also imaginary, just like the ones that were under my bed growing up and under Eric Church's son. Well, the song, going back to the lyrics, it mentions fears like the fact that the wolf hunts a hungry man. And when I think of hungry man, I don't just think of the frozen dinners that you can get. I think, and it's not just food. When I think of hungry man, I think of an insatiable appetite, an appetite that can't be satisfied. And again, not just for food, because insatiable appetites can be addictions. I can't get enough, and so I just need one more of whatever that addiction is. So fear is like a wolf looking for a hungry man. The song goes on to say that lonely hearts are what the devil hunts. Lonely hearts is what the devil hunts. And those lonely hearts can come out of things like, he mentions in the song, bad decisions, greed, sickness, and he mentions even pride. Fear comes in many forms, and in today's culture, it seems like some of these are going to be very obvious to you. Let me just share a few. COVID-19. our church, our body that's here in person is half, anyway, half of what we were before COVID started. And part of it is because some people are afraid to be in a public setting. But COVID has many people fearing things like sickness, hospitalization, or even death. COVID has caused employees to fear losing their job. The coronavirus has business owners fearing their dream occupation will become their financial nightmare. Racial tensions are the result of hundreds of years of oppression, and people of color are still being prejudged, which causes them to live in fear. Civil unrest is leading to rioters tearing down whatever they want and making entire communities live in fear in their own home. Media outlets that distort the truth, causing voters to fear that they may make decisions based on intentionally false reporting. And then there's the perpetual fear with every trip to the grocery store that they're going to be out of toilet paper. And those are just some of the fears that were on last night's newscast. Fear, fear, fear. Can we find any antidote for fear in God's word? And the answer is yes, yes, yes. Psalm 34:4 says this, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. Catch this. He freed me from all my fears. So what's the point of that verse in the application to the lyrics of this song? To me, it means don't hold your fears inside. Tell someone about your fears. Most importantly, tell the Lord. Just like the psalmist says, I prayed to the Lord. That's how I told him. And guess what? He answered me. And guess what? He freed me. And guess what? From all my fears. Watch for freedom for fear. Circumstances may not be different, but our reaction can be. So things may not change when we pray to the Lord and he answers us and frees us from the fear. Our circumstances may not change, but the way we look at our circumstances can change. Amen. There's a story told in the Gospels about Jesus being out with his disciples on the Sea of Galilee. And they've been out there for a little while, and then out of nowhere, a storm comes up, and it's just violently rocking the boat to the point that everyone on board is afraid. Jesus happens to be at the bottom of the boat. He's sleeping. And then it starts in at Matthew chapter 8, 25. Here's we're getting into the middle of the story and toward the end. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." Jesus responded, "Why are you afraid? You have so little faith." Then he got up and he rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. The disciples were so amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked. "Even the winds and waves obey him." Now remember, half the group of disciples were professional fishermen. They'd been on the Sea of Galilee. They'd been in boats during storms. But somehow this one really caught them off guard. And then I think it's interesting to see what Jesus didn't do. We heard what he did do. He spoke and the winds and the waves stopped. But here's what he didn't do that sometimes we try to do when people tell us about their fears. He didn't try to calm their fears. He didn't focus on a scripture from like the Torah of the old, what we would call the Old Testament. He didn't say, "Let's focus on scripture and just repeat that over and over. That'll calm your fear." He didn't say, "Stop worrying. It's only a storm." He didn't say, "Guys, let's just take hands and sing Kumbaya." That should help. What he did do is he spoke to the wind and waves, and they stopped immediately. The Lord can not only take away our fear, but he can change, sometimes he does, change the very circumstances that are the root cause of our fears. So, while sometimes the circumstances remain, at other times God may rebuke them and they disappear. If he can rebuke the wind and waves, he can rebuke whatever is causing you fear. Here's a familiar verse from one of the Psalms, and I'm going to read it from the NLT, which I normally preach from, but I'm going to also repeat it from the King James that we're most familiar with. It's Psalm 23:4, where it says, "Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and staff protect and comfort me." Well, what we're most used to having heard in our lifetime is probably, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Now, the point I think comes out of that is that God's support and comfort are there to ease our fears at every stage of life, even in the face of death. You see, fear is not just something a 7-year-old boy deals with in a dark bedroom, like the song was based on by Eric Church and his son, or my preschool age fear of what's under the bed. You see, fear is an equal opportunity provider. Fear will try to cause us problems for as long as we live. But greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. Another psalm says this: "The Lord is my light," and not just a 60-watt bulb light. "The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble?" That's Psalm 27:1. With God as our source of strength, we don't need to fear anything on earth. Now, I know that's easy for me to say. And if whatever fears you're dealing with, just to have said that may seem impossible to you. Overcoming fear is not about mind over matter. It's not about positive thinking. It's not about being strong or stronger. It's about using the power of that fortress that Psalms talked about that's in us as Christians, and that fortress is the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, verse 27, it's revealed a big antidote for peace. And if we have peace, that helps eliminate fear. Would you agree? But this peace that the Bible talks about is not something you could go into the store and get. I can't walk into a store and say, if somebody there at the store says, "Can I help you?" And I say, "Yeah, I'm looking for some peace." Would you have anything in like a 4X, maybe long sleeve? I sure need to be covered in peace. John 14:27 says, I'm leaving you with a gift. And this is Jesus' words. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or, catch this, afraid. What's that gift? It's the Holy Spirit. Accept the peace of Jesus, the peace that the world cannot give, and watch your fears melt away. There's apparently two types of fear, or two types of peace that are out there. One is the world's peace. And the world's peace is based on circumstances. Don't you feel peace when the circumstances are going just fine in your favor? But the peace that God gives, the peace that passes all understanding human-wise, is not based on circumstances. That peace comes from, it's a gift from God. It's the Holy Spirit. And no matter how bad your circumstances are, the thing that's causing you fear is still out there. It's still under the bed. It's still in the dark. And yet, we can feel peace because of that gift from God. Lynn, if you could go ahead and start playing softly at the piano. I'm going to wrap up here. Another psalm, Psalm 91, 4 and 5, says this. And catch the picture of the psalmist as they write this. He, God, he will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that fly in the day. In other words, take shelter beneath God's welcoming wings, and he will protect you and shield you from fear. Now, I'm going to read a story. It's a very short story of an event that happened. And I've read this so many times, and it's so applicable to this very verse from Psalm that we read. After a forest fire in the Yellowstone National Park, forest rangers began their trek up a mountain to assess the inferno's damage. One ranger found a bird literally petrified in ashes, perched statuesquely on the ground at the base of a tree. Somewhat sickened by the eerie sight, he knocked over the bird with a stick. When he gently struck it, three chicks scurried out from under their dead mother's wings. The mother, keenly aware of the impending disaster, had carried her offspring to the base of the tree and had gathered them under wings, instinctively knowing that the toxic smoke would rise. She could have flown to safety, but she refused to abandon her babies. Then the blaze had arrived and the heat had scorched her small body. The mother remained steadfast because she had been willing to die. Those under the cover of her wings would live. That's a sad story, and I can see it on your faces. A mother bird doing this for her three little chicks. But we have a father who has done that. He's done that and more for all his babies. That's all the people that have ever lived on this earth forever and ever, his children. And he came down from heaven in the person of Jesus Christ so we could live. So the next time you're feeling, the next time a restless feeling keeps you up at night, falling on your knees should be your new turning on the light. Keep your faith intact by making sure your prayers are said, because now you know that the monsters ain't the ones beneath the bed. Let's go ahead and sing our closing song.